In this episode, I'm looking forward to sharing a conversation I had with Tommy Wakefield. Tommy works with the SWAP, which is an app that helps churches effectively track their outreach, but beyond that, makes a really intentional way of making personal connections with people using the power of software. See, even though Tommy is in the business of software, he really understands the value of personal connection. As a business leader or a church leader, a lot of times we can get really caught up in the process of the process, if you will, and we kind of forget about the personal element and the people factor. And so Tommy really encourages us in this conversation to make the personal touch a part of the process. This is a really great conversation, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase podcast. The larger the church or the larger the organization, the more programmatic, if that's a word, or systematic it becomes. And I'm all about good systems. I think there's an element of good business that needs to be part of the church, you know, from your finances and, you know, your efficiency and things like that. But what I notice is the more the more you grow and the more you add these different programs, or sometimes they get called ministries, you just get bogged down with that and you lose sight and you lose focus of, you know, what you're really there to do. And I think, you know, really a lot of pastors and, you know, assistant pastors, whatnot out there could relate to that. So I don't know if that's kind of in line with what you're saying there, but that's an observation I've, like I said, something's been on my mind here recently. I don't know if you, like I said, if that's in line with what you're thinking. So share your thoughts, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of right in line with what I'm thinking. And I know some of this is pretty fresh, even in my, I guess, perspective and heart and mind. So it's not like I'm going to be extremely capable of articulating it extremely well, if that makes sense. It's pretty fresh, because it's like our default as an American, and almost even like as a Westerner, just by default, oftentimes the way we think about a church is so tied to like a building or or a pastor, even when, to be honest, like those things really aren't necessarily the church. I mean, a pastor, of course, is always going to be a part of a church, as he's kind of the leader of it. But so we tend to just subconsciously and naturally almost think about the church wrong, when it's really the people. It is, you know, that's the body of Christ, and it's the living organism is the church, you know. And we'll say like cliche things like, oh, that's a church building, when, you know, it probably would be a little more accurate to say something like, that's a building the church uses. And so it's just this very subtle mindset shift, but it even kind of goes into like software for churches, that just the very subtle way they're structured is just so heavily staff oriented. The members never even touch it or see it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really true, because something that I've, you know, as I've worked with different churches, is I've been exposed to different of these church management softwares. And I'm not going to, you know, call any out or anything by name or anything, because I mean, they're all wonderful. I mean, I've seen some really good ones that are really effective at what they do. But you're right. A lot of them, that tends to be the theme, is they, you know, obviously the staff use it to manage the database of who's connected with their church. They use it for communication or online giving or whatever. And now some of them, it's like they're seeking to connect, you know, the actual people of the church. You know, they you can, you know, create an account, log in, but it's very limited on what you can do in terms of once you get in there. And honestly, what I've noticed in most cases, and I haven't used every facet of every church management software out there, so I'm sure there's exceptions. But what I've noticed is really what it comes more or less down to is like, well, it's kind of just a glorified church directory where you log in. And not to say that doesn't have some value. Okay, cool. It's great to be able to log in and I suppose look up somebody's contact information if they're willing to share it. But I don't know. At the same time, you're right. It's very geared towards, you know, the actual church leadership who's, if you will, on paid staff and not towards those who are, you know, the actual people that make up the church. Now, I want to chase that a little bit more, though. Before, I'm kind of taking a step back before we take a step forward in terms of circling back to something you said earlier. Talk about people associating church with a building. And there are things I think that church gets associated with, and it's all cliche stuff that we've heard before about how, well, you know, of course the church isn't the building, but yet that's what we say. We say, I'm going to church, and you're talking about going to the building. Or another thing is church is not necessarily a time on the schedule. You know, they say it's time for church. Okay, yeah, it's time for a worship service. It's time for us to, you know, come together in our building to worship as the church, but that is not the church. And I know, like, it's pretty innocent just to use that terminology of saying, I'm going to church, or it's time for church. But those are two things that's like, no, the church is not that. And I will say, you know, the past few years and all the craziness of the events of the world where the church, by and large, at least in you know, like you said, the Western world and, well, pretty much worldwide was shut down to some extent for either a few weeks or a few months, depending on where you live. But it did cause a lot of people to kind of be challenged in that thinking. And I've really seen two reactions to that kind of as we've gone back to church and everything. I've seen two kind of categories. There's those that are embracing what happened and they're using it as kind of a, you know, it was kind of like a jolt to them, like, oh yeah, church isn't just a building and it isn't just a time of the week or an event on the calendar. It is our people. So there's those people that have kind of taken those changes. They're rolling with it. They're kind of learning, taking the good, if you will, out of the bad. And then there's those on the other side who have said, I am going to work, do everything I can, even if it means, you know, going against the grain in the biggest way possible to just get it back to how it was. And what I'm seeing is that those people are the ones that are kind of struggling. Because again, that mindset, that Western mindset of church, like you said, of it being all about a building and a time of the week and all the programming that goes into it, that is what they are going for. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I do think that it's good that we challenge our thinking in that to say at the core, what is church? Before we continue to going down the software route, I just wanted to kind of, you know, jump on a little soapbox there about that. I think this would be a good time though, Tommy, for you to maybe, just give us a little high level overview of, you know, who you're with, what you do. And we're talking about software and we'll talk about, you know, the ins and outs of philosophy of it here as we dive in, but just talk a little bit about you and Swap and kind of what you do there.
Yeah, okay. So my name is Tommy and me and my buddy built the soul winning app. It's kind of where it started was really to help a program really in the church. A lot of churches still have the program of, you know, going out door to door and with the philosophy behind it being, you know, reaching people. And so in its beginning stages, we made the soul winning app to help churches kind of organize their door to door outreach. But, you know, it's been 5 years now, in fact, 5 years today in June, and we're recording this, that we launched it. So it's fifth year and we've came a long ways. In fact, we've completely thrown everything out numerous times and rebuilt it numerous times just because we had to, as we kind of built it and structured it the way that it needed to be. And so it's just been a long, gruesome process, but you know, where it is today is just far beyond where it was when we started, if you can even compare the two. So me and my buddy kind of built that. We own it, and we're just passionate about that. And then, you know, even beyond that, just helping churches really, really focus on what matters. And so it's kind of where the roots of it kind of lay, right in the soul winning, reaching people. I'd say there's really no point in a church existing if that isn't their desire, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I remember first seeing your app, and yes, for those churches that are still, you know, doing some type of organized, you know, like you said, door to door outreach, where you're taking, you know, a track or a information handout, and you're going to a door, you're either leaving the information on the door or you're knocking on the door maybe. And I will say, from what I, when I interacted with it, it was the most, from what I could see, it was like, well, this is a incredibly efficient way to manage this. You know, because what I had worked with before, again, with working with different churches, and I think many of them are still doing this, you know, they have some type of Google map that they're printing off and they're trying to track it. And really, if we're honest, again, this is just from past experience, there's really not much organization to it. I don't think there's really effective tracking, and that software did it. But like you're saying, since then, you've really built on it. And the latest version of it that you showed me is really more about, like you said, is about people management, but people connection. And that's something that's really interesting. So I don't know if you could talk a little bit about that. I don't want to steal all your thunder, but what you showed me in terms of managing people, managing perspective, you know, or I guess you'd call them prospects, people that you've been working with to try to get them to attend church and whatnot. That is something that I think really, obviously, this philosophy of a people first software, it really shows through. So I don't know if you want to talk through that a little bit about how that works and maybe the mindset behind how you came to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the Bible kind of led me to that mindset. Just Jesus himself, just being focused on people. You know, for instance, like, you know, our door-to-door method that we use for, getting in contact with people in our community, it's, you know, I would say it's effective if you're out there for the purpose of really connecting with people to really, because you care, you know, if you're just out there for the sake of a duty, it can be, people can see through that. Really, I guess what led us to this mindset is just organizing a door-to-door outreach, ministry in your church is completely pointless if you're not really focused on reaching people and caring for people, not just like caring to grow our numbers. You know, there's like, oh, come visit our church. You know, I don't see inviting people to church as the Great Commission in any way, shape or form. But going out there because you care, but then the people, following up on people, really giving your members the tools that they need to be engaged in the Great Commission on their own, so take ownership in it, which is what we're all supposed to do. And the whole church has access to this, whereas opposed to a lot of software, church software, it's just very heavily staff-centric.
Yeah.
The staff goes and does the visits. They follow up. They, you know, got those lists that they work through. And, you know, you would be lucky to run into, you know, a church that has a member that's out there hustling a system and doing it on their own. You would, it would be, you know, you'd probably be shocked if that were the case. And to me, that's extremely unfortunate because it's just, it's the whole purpose of the church, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Again, picking on, if you will, those church management softwares. Yeah, that's the thing. Let's say you get a contact somebody who, you know, fills out a connection card. Sure. You take that, you put it in the church management software in the system. And, you know, I've seen some cool things that it does from, you know, maybe a technical side, you know, automates sending emails and, you know, getting letters ready to be printed and sent, or sends a text message, or sends a reminder to, but like you said, a staff member to say, hey, go and, you know, follow up with this person, give them a call, go visit them, whatever. And, you know, all of that is great. But like you said, yeah, you're right. It is very much locked into the, into like, oh, you have to be staff. I'm thinking of one software in particular that I have used the back end on it in a capacity for helping a church. And, you know, you can tell this church really one or what their desire is to do what we're talking about. They want to empower their people to go and reach and to not just, you know, reach people, but to disciple them, cultivate relationships with them and so forth. That's what they're trying to empower people to do. But the back end of the software, pretty much the way it operates is it requires you to basically give people staff level access to do that. So they say, fine, they do it. But you go into that software and it's so confusing because it feels like a database. It doesn't feel like a people management software. And there's all kinds of little bells and whistles and features that it's distracting. And so again, you can tell that most of the, and that's a very common one. If I were to say the name of it, everybody would know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's how they're built. They're built to, again, manage a database and do some cool technical, maybe automated things, but they're clearly not geared towards making it easy for people of your church to connect with other people. And so, yeah, there's a lot there that I think, and I'm really glad to see that your app is doing it. Now, I'll throw this out there too. Talking about Swap, your app, for those out there that, you know, might be listening, watching, and in fact, there's probably several that are like, yeah, we're not doing the door-to-door thing anymore. And especially after, you know, a worldwide pandemic, people are super hesitant to answer the door and to do all of that stuff. And so, you know, all of that to say, I know there's a lot of people out there who are probably like, yeah, that's not our thing. No, here's the nice thing about your app. And like I said, whether you implement that side of it or not, the actual tracking of door-to-door, that's really what you're, from what I'm understanding, that's really kind of becoming secondary. It's mostly about managing the people you're connecting with and those connections and so forth. Anyways, I'll let you talk about that. My screensaver started doing this thing back here, so I'm going to fix that, but I'm going to let you pick it up where I was there.
Yeah, that's okay. It would distract me if you didn't fix it anyways.
So you don't want to look at pictures of my daughter the whole time?
That would be a distraction. So anyways, so really our focus is on empowering the church members to be able to follow up in with those organic connections. And you mentioned like automation and stuff. There's a lot of, in fact, there's tons of tools, tons of business tools and everything out there that you can use for automation to send out postcards, you know, to send out, you know, really even to collect data, solicit data, like tons of automation tools that you can do that with. And to me, like the way to stand out is not do that. Be organic, you know, touch, you know, follow up on somebody in person, you know, maybe actually write like a physical, you know, if one of your members that was working on a prospect literally wrote a physical letter the day after they met him or something on the street, you know, those extremely organic, real connections are the things that people are craving and hungering for. And all they're getting is these fake solicited advertisements that nobody put any thought in, you know, I'd say maybe one person put a little bit of thought into it one time, and then it just entered the system and it just keeps going. But giving your members the ability to save their prospects, you know, record the notes and, you know, everything that they need about that prospect, their family members' names, their ages, just the things that, that would help with building a relationship, and then giving them the tools so they can have that list, follow up on them, pray for them. There's even a prayer list in there that you can pray for them. And these are like, you know, it's like, it seems so old school to do this, but it's like what we're supposed to be doing as the church. It's not, we hear it said all the time, you know, I've heard it in college a lot, Bible college, a staff run church is a staff ruined church. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true, but it's so unfortunate that, that some of the biggest churches, and the bigger the church gets, it just moves towards being staff run, you know, and we slip into that mindset that's just inaccurate. And I would have to say, it's just an inaccurate mindset, kind of subtly laced with lies about what the church is. And so, yeah, giving your members, I think, the ability that they can follow up on their people. That's kind of really the point of it all. Tracking door to door, that's just, you know, a means to an end. Mm-hmm. It is a way. And I would even say there's even other people picking up, for instance, like Tom Rainer. You know who Tom Rainer is?
Yeah.
They promote and do something called Pray and Go, which is a door-to-door effort, but it's not so much door knocking. It's just going door to door, leaving a flyer that says we prayed for you, and you know, with a prayer request form on the back, kind of a slightly different, less invasive approach to door knocking, but comes across as, you know, we care, you know, not,
yeah,
hey, come to my church. Here's my name is Tommy. Me, I, come to my church. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. just like, you know, go away.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I heard somebody say one time, as to have a conversation about this, that, you know, you're going to be hesitant. At least I am, most people, you're most likely going to be hesitant to talk to a door-to-door salesman about, you know, like changing your cable or internet. So imagine how much more hesitant most people are going to be to talk about spiritual things. And so I think that's a really good point. But on the flip side, like you were saying, I think the element there that those that might hold, because there are those out there that are really going to hold to that door-to-door approach, and they're going to want to do, you know, that what we some might consider invasive, whatever. But I think what they're holding to is a lot of what you're saying. That is a way to be personal. It's a way to show, like, you're literally having a face-to-face conversation and you're showing someone that you care. And so I think, like you said, talk about that pray and go and whatever. There's all different ways to do it. You talked about doing a handwritten note or handwritten postcard or card or something like that. These are all different ways of, like you said, going above just the standard, you know, automated emails, form letters, texts, and things like that, and actually showing, hey, we're going to do something personal. Now, I will say, like, I'm a big fan, first from a business perspective, again, of what can be accomplished through some of the automated, you know, yeah, automated emails and things like that really do help. And I think do provide some value in building some type of digital relationship. So that's where I would go as far as to say, well, why not incorporate the personal into your system, if you will? Incorporate that into what you're doing. So instead of just, oh, they'll get an email, they'll get an automatic text, they'll get this. Well, we're also going to have a member, like you said, write them a little postcard and send that. I remember I gave a donation to a church that was doing, they were doing some type of, you know, outreach effort. And I thought it was good. So, you know, I gave a little bit to it. And within a week, I received a card. And all it was, I opened the card, it was just a very short handwritten message from the lead pastor of that church that just said, hey, Luke, I want to thank you for your gift. You know, it means a lot that you would get behind us here. I mean, it was super short. It was maybe two sentences. I could tell that, okay, yeah, this is probably what this guy does for every first time donation that comes to his church. But nonetheless, it was still personal. And the fact that they had the personal built into the process was something I think that makes it still meaningful. And so it's not that we're saying, oh, well, get rid of your software and don't do anything process oriented, but build the personal into your process. And that, I think that would go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You know, statistically, they'll say something like, you know, nobody's going to buy anything or nobody's going to come and visit your church. The first time they hear about it, it's, you know, 3, 4, 7, 10, 20 times after they hear that they're going to actually do anything. And so automation can help with that, you know, what do you call it? Awareness advertising.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I become aware of you. And then all of a sudden, you know, if, for instance, and this is something that's actually done a lot, you know, you see a lot of political campaign signs. Those are awareness advertisement, which I've never, ever voted for anybody based off of a sign, at least consciously. I don't think I have. But if I were to see a sign and then that night when I get home, that candidate knocked on my door or there was some sort of physical interaction with them. Now, every time I see that sign, you know, there's that real connection, that real personal relationship that really does set you apart. And that's kind of, I guess, what's meant by just really stand out with the personal touch in this automated world.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that I've heard too, when it comes to, you talk about what you can do and automated, but even just digitally, you know, with things like emails and social media and whatnot, is, you know, it's a really good practice. And again, this isn't just for churches. This would be for anybody, is sure, use those methods to try to make those digital touches, if you will, but those should not be your primary way of, you know, engaging people. In terms of what I mean by engaging people is getting them to maybe come to your church or come back to your church or take a next step at your church. And they should not be there. Your primary way should not be to do that or to get them to do that just through your automated digital processes. And also, that's not all you need to be doing on those digital platforms. What you need to be focusing on those digital platforms is sharing stuff, sharing content with them and reaching out to them and providing them value. So, well, we are going to take a pause right there and pick up the next part of this conversation in the next episode. And until then, I do hope that you will make sure that you're subscribed wherever you're listening to podcasts and that you'll also subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/mustincrease. And remember, if you have any questions that you'd like answered in a future episode, be sure to text those to 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461. Send us a text and we just might answer that question in an upcoming episode. Well, until next time, I want to thank you for joining us today, and we will see you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.